Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Power On Podcast Portable. I'm one of your hosts, Sushi B, and with me is the lovely Taylor. How are you doing, Taylor?
I'm doing good. Lovely, Adam.
Today you can be lovely.
I don't agree with the word choice, but
oh, you're like a butterfly.
Beautiful butterfly.
Yeah.
So I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Pretty good. I've got a bit of a cold hack in here, so I apologize to you and any listeners. Just my voice is a little shaky right now, so I'll do my best to hold the fort, but I'm sure it'll...
Highly offended.
Yeah, you should be. I'm sure I'm going to cut out a few times. So don't get me too excited, because you won't even hear anything. I'll be trying to talk and my voice will try to hit such a high pitch that I won't be able to say anything.
Well, hopefully it'll not come to that.
It doesn't crack.
Yeah. So for this episode, good sir.
Yeah, so for this episode, we will be covering an old PlayStation classic. And I don't remember who chose this game. I don't recall if it was you or I. Do you remember? Or?
I think you did, because did you I? Chose a different game, and then, well, you put off a list of games to choose from.
Right.
And there was two in particular that stuck out the most, and this was I guess 1B for the choices.
Sure. So. But anyways, we are alluding to Wild Arms, which is. Bit of an older game now, maybe what, 1996?
Came out in 96 in Japan, I would say 96.
Right, and then 97 probably. I think 97, yeah. So shortly after, I think it didn't take very long to translate the game, bring it back to the US. I'm not sure about Europe.
I think it took a little bit of time.
Yeah, which is often the case, so unfortunately. But anyways,
back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day when poor Europeans always missed out on a lot of stuff. Yeah. Particularly RPGs, maybe not other stuff, but definitely RPGs. But yeah, so we are looking at Wild Arms today, and I'm actually pretty excited. It took me a long time to track down this game, and then I downloaded it, I think, maybe the first day it came out on the PlayStation Network. And I started playing it, and I was really enjoying it, and it's just one of those things, you put it down, and I kind of forgot about it. So glad we brought it up and finally got a chance to run through it. Not a very long game, so.
Yeah, it's kind of the same way. Honestly, it's not that I look for it, but I haven't seen it whenever I've gone out to like game stores and stuff. So I just, this is really super cheap on PlayStation Network, so I downloaded it and it's like, heck yeah.
Yeah.
500 yen for it, so like $5, so a little bit more, but roughly yeah. Like $5 for it.
Yeah, no, it's before we get into everything, I would definitely say check it out if you like some older PlayStation RPGs. And if you want something that's got different flavor to it, per se, with the Western feel, it's a really good pickup.
For sure. It's in that whole kind of like mid-90s, mid to late 90s, with Japan having pretty high love for the Westerns. I mean, because around that time you had Cowboy Bebop and like all the anime and stuff that's kind of really popular, at least really enjoyed in America and stuff. So this is kind of like, honestly, playing it really kind of kicked up those kind of old memories of enjoying the kind of things from Japan around the same time. So if you like that time period for Japan's pop culture stuff, then definitely give this game a shot.
Yeah, for sure. I can't imagine it's very expensive, maybe less expensive than some of the other RPGs you'd find on the PlayStation 1.
Or if worse comes to worse, just download it off the PSN.
Sure. I mean, it's really cheap. I think it was $6 for me. So, I mean, it's not like it's a big wallet bust or anything. So, but yeah, why don't we get right into it?
Okay. Where do you want to start then?
I mean, we could start in a lot of areas. I think we should start with the story, though. I think that's a pretty generic place to begin. I don't know. I'd like to actually get your thoughts first on the overall story.
Overall story, I would say it is not... that's a good way to put this. The story, it's just a general overlay? Or you want me to hit like super-duper pinpoint things?
If you've got pinpoint things, go for it.
We'll just general overlay. I would say the story is in its own right, not what's the word I want to use. It's not too original.
Yeah.
What makes it original is the setting and the style. It's kind of your typical save the world. It kind of goes into that whole typical kind of like save the world from the evil, crazy, bad guys that want to just kind of watch the world burn kind of thing.
Right.
And however, what kind of carries it along is not the main freaking character, because Rhodey can eat a chode or something, because he doesn't really do much.
No, he doesn't.
But like, it's carried pretty much by your two other, what is it, Jack in the English version?
Jack in the English version.
Okay. I want to say Zach, but yeah, so they call it with Jack and, Cecilia?
Cecilia, right.
Yeah, and so those two definitely carry it, and they're trying to stop the whole, the metal demons.
Right.
From destroying the planet and stuff, and it doesn't completely drop all of it on you at once. It progressively adds more and more to it. Like, it seems like the stakes get raised higher and higher and higher and higher as it goes along.
Yeah.
At least that it felt to me, because you're constantly chasing them and stuff in a way. And that's, I don't know, there's really, like, other than kind of things that are different about it that I guess you can bring up, that's kind of like, I found it was just a very general story with a very unique setting.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think so.
What are your thoughts on it?
I agree. I think you've pretty much hit exactly what I was thinking as well. I think that I don't think they did a very good job of pacing the story, though. I think that the first half of the game, you're just kind of doing random things that don't really feel necessary to the overall story. And then suddenly in the latter half, you just get all this information, this giant dump of information and stuff that just, I don't know, it doesn't feel like they planned it out very well. Just to me, as you said, maybe it's partly because Rhodey is, he's just not a very intriguing character in general. He doesn't really, as you said, do much. He's just kind of there. And then you're kind of relying on Jack and Cecilia to carry most of the plot. And
the rat, Penpont, Benpont, what the heck?
Hanpon or something?
Hanpon. Okay. So, yeah, well, the thing is, though, it's because he's the silent protagonist, pretty much. Yeah. It's just kind of, it is left up to the others. And I think they do carry it to a certain degree. There is a bit of charm to Zach's character, especially with Zach's character. I actually like him. And like, even though he's very, like, the writing itself seems very, what's the word I want to use? Very not fluid. It's very kind of stiff, I guess is the word I want to use. I don't know if that's how it kind of came across to you in English.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does.
So, but I think it's very typical of kind of your JRPGs at that time.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it tries to be very, like, heads and shoulders above everything else. It's not going to sit there and beat you over the head with some sort of philosophical view or, you know, something. Cough, cough. Xenogears, cough. But, yeah. if you're not looking for an overly complex storyline, definitely Wild Arms is a good way to go.
Yeah, they don't reinvent the wheel. They just put a hubcap on it. So, or, you know, new gloss of paint on the car or something. It's basically that. You're right. It's a brand new setting, but the typical save the world story sprinkled in with the odd here or there thing that deals with the environments that you're in.
One thing I would like to mention is I don't know how to put this, the scene that they show before you start the game, not the opening credits, or not the credits, but the opening kind of cinematic
video.
Right. But if you let the game sit at the title screen, it'll go into that cutscene.
Right.
I like that.
I did too.
Because I didn't know about that until like about 9 or 10 hours into playing the game. So then all of a sudden I had to go wash dishes or something. I went and washed dishes before I sat down to play it. And I just kind of was like, I'll just listen to the music because I like the intro and stuff. And then all of a sudden it's doing this and text is going through and I'm looking in and like, what the hell's going on? You know,
right.
Completely like just I like that little bit. It's something that doesn't even come up until much later in the game anyway. So,
yeah. That's one of the things is that they really kind of, obviously they wanted to put emphasis on that being at the start of the game before you even turn it on. And they don't really even touch upon that until, I don't know, almost 80% plus through the game before you get any real meaty substance about that scene from the beginning. And it's really unfortunate because I think that's what I'm getting at, is that they don't really have much to tell, it seems like, up until that point. They have this really good story point that they wanted to tell, but it seems like everything leading up to it just didn't matter that much.
I can kind of see that. Like, it's something that I think a lot of RPGs struggle with, mm-hmm. is that whole intro. Like, the first half of the game, you're kind of like, what the hell are these people doing?
Right. They're
killing rats in a sewer, collecting rat pelts for God knows what. Or, you know, doing some, like, remedial task like that.
Right.
Where it's like, they have to climb the tree to save the kitty. Okay, you know. But I understand it's there to try to, like, develop the characters, but... kind of pointed out before, one of them's silent. So.
Right. And you've got three main characters only, so you're really dealing with two. I mean, you can count Hanpan, I suppose, but I mean, he doesn't chime in that often.
Right. And he's a rat.
a wind rat or something, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, you can only kind of get so much into his line of sight.
His backstory.
Right. So, but touching up on that, what did you think of the fact that you only had those three characters, that there wasn't like a whole class of other characters and stuff?
Yeah, I'm okay with the three characters. I think that maybe having a few more could have helped in one regard, but in another, it might have just pushed the story a bit back to be even longer than it needed to be, as I already kind of felt it was. So I think three characters was a good choice on their part. I just wish that maybe they could have given a bit more information about them earlier in the game. Just giving, why is Jack doing what he's doing, and why is Cecilia? Well, we do kind of get Cecilia from the start, I suppose, but Rudy, we don't really get anything until quite late in the game. So I just think that three characters probably was good enough. And what do you think about that?
I would agree with that. Like, I think it actually fit pretty well. Like you say with Rudy, it's you don't. He's an enigma. I don't really like him. It's not that I don't like him. It's just I'm pretty indifferent towards him. He's just kind of there. He was awesome shooting and killing monsters for me, but
right.
as a character, he just kind of he's just an avatar for the player. It seems like.
Yeah, he's a bit of a weak link actually for the team.
And I kind of wish there might have been, at least very temporarily, at least one character, because there's a certain point where you're down to two characters.
Right.
Or you have to, at certain parts, it doesn't happen a lot, but there are certain parts where you have to solo through a part of a dungeon or something, and right. those can be kind of difficult. So,
can be.
So,
that was a good part of the game, though. I thought they did a really good job of kind of separating the characters at times, so you get a little more. They don't really give any story during those moments, but at least you kind of get a feeling for using those characters. And I felt in a really awkward way, almost more attached to them when I could just use them individually, and even there was no story. I don't know what it was. It was just maybe the adventure of just being that one person.
That's possible. I don't mind the execution of it, except for when it came to the battles, because there's time, like, if you ran into a lot, it could be very difficult.
Sure.
if you're not, like, that's more of a preparational thing, but I mean, you shouldn't have to prepare like tons and tons just for this one thing. And if you're not completely ready for it, it can be rather unfortunate to go like 2/3 of the way through it and then, oh, you lost, ha ha ha.
Right. Well, it happens at least 3 times that I can remember.
I know the one at the beginning. I remember the one dungeon.
It was like the Tri Tower.
Right. The one.
And
that's
then near
ocean.
The end, near the end of the game, there's that other part where
you do it as well.
So it doesn't happen a lot, but I thought it was pretty clever on their part, especially at the beginning. I thought the beginning was really cool, how they all have to kind of come together on their own. I thought that was neat.
Yeah, it's nice. It's not completely. You can kind of bridge them together how you wanted.
Right.
I mean, they still had to come together.
Sure.
Pretty early on, but it's kind of like how you wanted to do it. If you wanted to, oh, let's all meet up in the out in the overworld or something, kind of. Case.
Right. Right. No, so. I thought that was cool. I like that.
So yeah. I guess jumping from that, what did you think of the setting?
I like the setting a lot. I thought it was really cool because it was just very different. Like it, there's like some slight sci-fi type elements to it, but I think that it, I don't know, it was just very unique. And I know we've had other games that have Western themes and stuff, but it still has this Japanese flavor to it while still encompassing a bit of a traditional like John Wayne Western or, you know, a Clint Eastwood Western to it. So I thought that was a good blend. I don't know. Do you agree? I mean,
I really liked it. It is an interesting mix of having kind of like that fantastical element to it,
mm-hmm.
while also kind of alluding to it being a, what's the word I want to use? I don't want to say post-apocalyptic, but
yeah, I get what you're kind of going kind for.
More almost like a world of decay, I guess.
Almost. Sort of like a very basic world almost to me, though. Like, very untouched, sort of.
Or uncultivized.
Yeah, to a point, yeah. It's got civilizations, but they seem to be not really integrated with one another. They're all kind of just off in their own places, but don't seem to also have like this, oh, vengeful kingdom has to fight another vengeful kingdom or anything of that sort.
It kind of conveys the whole, I would say it's almost in a way barren.
Yeah.
I guess. So, I mean, even though the setting isn't entirely like just nothing but desert. So,
basically, yeah.
So, I mean, there are trees and stuff. So, thank God for that. But a lot of it does happen to have very, like the overworld's very, except for
plain?
Drab. I was going to say drab. But yeah. Yeah, plain is a good word for it. Except for when you're over like the water or maybe in the kind of the snow fields and stuff, it's a bit, what's the word, lively, even though I know it sounds weird to say for a snowfield, but it seems because it has a different color to it, it kind of it brightens the mood almost in a way.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
So the thing that kind of is a little kooky to me is their weapons. I don't know.
How so?
Just because it's I have that Western kind of vibe to it, so seeing them use swords and stuff is a little, I don't want to say jarring, but it's kind of weird at first when you see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, because you're getting this Western vibe and you're thinking, oh, maybe they'll, you know, they'll use guns and stuff, and they do have the arms, but it's kind of the arm it's kind of for one character only kind of thing.
Basically, yeah. So, maybe that was part of the thing, though. They were thinking like the arms or something, and they do allude to it being very special, right, in the world,
right.
That there were arms before, and many people had used them before, but now there's basically no more arms. And to see someone with arms must mean that they're probably either a demon or something is really messed up with them.
Right. Right, yeah. And they do cover that really early on. They do kind of drop that bit about it, you know.
Right.
Maybe evil kind of thing. So it's a me thing more than anything. Just it's a Western setting and stuff, and so I get that whole the gunslinger concept. Good old, it's just the wild wild west to me. So
yeah, no, I can understand. I think I understand what you're getting at, but I think their mentality must have been thinking, as you said, the lone gunslinger, right? It's the one guy that can use a gun,
right.
And that must be what they were shooting for. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
I was gonna say, well, kind of jumping from the setting, what about like the what did you think of the monster design?
I think that kind of felt bland to me. It's not bad or anything. It just doesn't. Nothing really. Nothing felt really very memorable. None of the bosses. None of the main enemies. I think. I don't know. I don't know what they were going for with it. I guess it's hard to think of something like a monster in a Western setting, since typically Westerns are just dealing with people.
The monster of man.
Yeah, so I don't really have a problem with it, but at the same time, I'm honestly going to never probably remember that about Wild Arms.
Yeah, there's the ones that kind of, the ones that did stick out were they're kind of like the clowns that had the umbrella.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And stuff. Those guys stick out more because they ticked me off more than anything.
Yeah, they always had all those status effect attacks that were really annoying.
Right. So, yeah, but yeah, I kind of would agree with your sentiments on that, where it's, it would be, it's a little difficult to kind of plug in. It's like, oh, this is an imp. Why are you fighting imps in a Western kind of setting and stuff? And right. It gets back to that whole, where it's a little difficult and stuff. At least you're not like fighting tumbleweed monsters or something.
Yeah, it could have gotten really worse, I suppose. But even like the main four villains, I don't know. I didn't really look at them and be like, oh yeah, they're really awesome, you know, team of villains. I just kind of like that Al-Hazzad guy continually comes in and just runs away all the time. So, I mean, when you finally get to fight him, you're kind of like, okay, finally, because he just runs away all the time.
Right.
Just really dumb. Like, I don't know. And then you always fight, or not always, but you fight that, I can't think of his name, Belsek or something, the first guy.
Yeah.
You fight him a couple of times. You fight Lady Harkin a couple of times. You even fight Siegfried a couple of times. I don't know, they're just very generic, not really earth-shattering. I mean, I suppose going into the game, I kind of was expecting that, but I think I also had a little bit of a higher expectation of something a little more unique going with the setting of a Western, but those villains don't fit anything in the Western setting at all. Like, they're all... Siegfried just looks like a knight. I mean, they don't really have anything that kind of gives you this, oh, yeah, they're in a Western kind of feel.
Maybe the closest one would be the ninja with a boomerang. Well, at least he kind of gives me that.
Yeah,
ninja
kind
vibe.
Of, yeah. Sort of. Yeah, he was sort of a ninja. Yeah,
because of his Lucienda.
Right. The
kind
wolf.
Of wolf.
That's with him.
Yeah, that would be the only kind of, I guess, the one that would be the closest to it.
Yeah, I think they were going for Snake Eyes there with Snake Eyes and was that Timber? So. Yeah, no, he was a cool villain. Again, still very generic, but very likable still.
Yeah, very, very interesting because of his music and just his battles and stuff were very...
Yeah, his battles were good and a little more challenging than some of the other ones, actually, just because you had to face two bosses at once.
Right.
But I don't know, just very forgettable, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, especially the battle graphics are a bit... On the low end, understandably so, but...
Yeah, sure, yeah, they are, and I don't know about you, but for me, I couldn't deal with that active camera.
Uh-huh.
I had to turn it off. It's just, it's all over the place, it's always... I suppose that it's supposed to be giving me the best shot of what's going on, but I couldn't deal with it. I just turned to like the side view. I couldn't follow, like, it's like, okay, and now here's a magic spell being cast, and it follows, and it's, I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, I tolerated it. I didn't mind it so much. I was just like, ah, whatever.
Yeah.
But I can definitely see where it can be a bit annoying because you'll be looking at one angle and then all of a sudden, bam, from over top, bam.
Right. They would go over top over the or shoulders. Very far behind. And yeah, just very strange angles. But so. That's just a bit of a nitpick. It's nice that they at least included that you could change the camera, which is, you know, fine. I guess before we move on to that, actually, one thing we haven't touched upon is that this game features a guardian system, which is... I guess we can use that to lead into the battle system as well. There's a large number of guardians that are supposed to be protecting the planet, but have kind of gone into slumber. And I don't know, for whatever reason, seem completely fine with monsters overrunning the world and are just like, yeah, whatever.
Damn slacking guardians.
Yeah. So I don't know. What did you think about like the guardian aspect of both maybe in the battle system and just in the story?
The story itself, you're kind of, they almost seem like you're, I want to say typical guardians the guardian force or protector of the planet, where it's like, if they're the protector of the planet, why the hell aren't they doing more to protect it kind of thing? The thing I do like, however, is you find them in random places all over the world map.
A water fountain.
Well, yeah, there's
not quite,
like
not quite that bad, but
well, no, like there's
a trash can.
I'm the
hey, somebody
of
left
the
a guardian in here. One man's treasure is another man's garbage.
the one I bring up is that there's like on a deserted island isle. There's just a guardian there,
right?
And stuff, and you know you have to like actually go around and search for these kind of things because if you don't, then you'd completely miss out on them. And some of them are pretty awesome, while some of them are kind of I never used to. So yeah, yep, to the bench with you.
Yeah, that
so.
Was a bit unfortunate. I thought actually kind of felt that it was a bit of overkill that they had a little too many guardians. And what happened is some of the guardians you get at the beginning are just basically useless. I mean, maybe for their elemental power, they might be good in a battle, but for statistics, because they do help boost your stats a little bit, they were not helpful at all in that regard. Mm. So I thought, yeah, they could have cut down a couple of them out. I do like the aspect that you said, though, that you can search for some of them, and you probably will miss a lot of them unless you're following a guide, because there are lots, and some of them do just appear in a desert on a little island or what have you. So
yeah, so I didn't, and like for the battles themselves, I liked being able to use them. I like the charge up mechanic. So
yeah,
when you're taking damage and when each turn it charges up, and it's got four different levels, and then
you can use like a special skill basically.
Right, right, yeah, and with depending on each character you use it, you're able to do a different kind of skill and stuff. So
right.
Like I always use the Jack's third. Was that the Sonic Vision?
Yeah, that one's really good.
So, and then you could use just Rudy's, just his first one, which is Lock, which is for most of the game, you can just use that to be instead of, because what you have to do with his specials are he has the arms, the guns and stuff. So you have to kind of tune them up, make them stronger, increase their accuracy, add more bullets to be able to use it more without having to get it loaded again.
Yeah.
And instead of putting money into having to increase the accuracy, you could just let that go to hell and then just throw all the other money into making it as strong as possible, as many bullets for it as you want kind of thing. And pew, right. Pew.
So, there were definitely max levels that you could only reach on certain things, though, because I know I maxed out the rocket launcher. And yes, there's a rocket launcher in this game. maxed out the rocket launcher. So there are some limits on them, but they're really cool. They're really fun to use. I only use them in the boss battles because you basically have to. If you do not use any arm weapons or really heavy spells and stuff, you're going to die. Like the game isn't hard by any means, but you do have to be somewhat mindful of what you're doing.
Right, especially with sleep.
Yes. Oh, man.
Like, all the other statuses are fine. I can understand them. And yeah, you can equip something to repel it, but sleep. Why is there not an item to, or, you know, something? Why can't there be like a clap attack or something?
Sure, something. It's, there's only one spell that can be used to do that. It's just, I don't know. It's really, and sleep happens quite often, actually. It's just more of a nuisance most of the time. And the other thing is, if you go into sleep mode, if you're hit, you don't wake up.
I hate
it. It takes however many turns before the computer decides, okay, you can go back to what they call condition green, where you're back to just the normal setting.
Well, that's
normal status.
When it's fully charged, I think sometimes you'll just awaken randomly.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
That percentage where it will happen, but it is extremely annoying. I do like how the wake up spell, the morning call spell, it goes for how many turns? It goes for, I don't know.
A number. I don't know how many, but it definitely lasts for a certain number of turns. So.
So, and that's nice. So if you cast it on your first turn and then three turns later, jerk off boss casts some sort of sleeping spell and it puts them all to sleep, it'll actually awaken them for your next turn without having to take the next turn, which I like. I like that, but I don't like not having something else. So.
It's really weird. I've never really played a game where they put such an emphasis on that spell.
Well, I'll be honest. There was a boss that I totally lost to because I was not prepared for a sleep-tastic fantasy realm to take.
Yeah.
And I got crushed.
You got crushed?
I got crushed.
there are some tough bosses on there. As a whole, I think Wild Arms is a pretty easy game. I mean, there are some things that will be frustrating and a few puzzles that are a little bit annoying. But generally, I think the average RPG player, or even people who don't play RPGs, can get through this game within a fairly reasonable amount of time. Probably 25, maybe 30 hours. I mean, 30 hours might be pushing it a bit, but I'm pretty sure most people can get through this game without having too many headaches.
Yeah, there's a couple things in there that might be. There's one point near the end with the eye.
Yeah.
Right there.
I wasted 30 minutes doing that. that was really stupid, I thought.
Yeah, especially because you have to go through the whole dungeon and you have to go through the second, even though it's really short for the most part, other than that, collecting those pieces. It's... By that point, you're kind of like, all right, I've had enough.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. But there's definitely, like, maybe some of the puzzles. The puzzles are more visual in a way.
Most of them. Yes. Yeah, most of them are.
Which I kind of like, because not only do you have, you'll see cracks on the wall that you have to pay attention to, or there'll be a pathway that's open, but it looks similar to other tiles beside it, and if you're not kind of paying attention, you'll just run right by it.
Yeah.
I like that, and not only that, but they kind of give you tools to use throughout, even though some of the tools are kind of useless.
Yeah.
Looking at you, smash attack for Rudy.
Oh, that punch thing?
Yeah.
Well, I thought the skates were a lot more useless than the punch thing.
They're both.
The radar is good.
Radar's good.
Rudy has a radar, which allows him to find any items that are hiding in barrels and stuff. That's a really good one. I thought that was a really great idea on their part.
Yeah, that one's really, really nice. The guitar...
That one's pretty bad.
The special monsters that will destroy you if you're not prepared. Yeah.
Yeah, that one just didn't. I kind of was waiting because you get these tools over time and each character has four. And I was wondering, when is Jack going to get this last tool and what is it going to do? Because I had a pretty good idea that I was near the end of the game. And I'm like, okay, what is this tool? It must just do one thing. And then you get a guitar and I'm like, okay, guitar, fine. What does it do? And all it does is summon monsters.
Well, there's certain parts too where there's the
some secret bosses that you can use it for. But I actually passed over that because I was just like I just want to kind of get to the end now. I was very close. I was like I don't really have the patience at this time.
They're kind of tough.
I read after they seem
Lucifer's pretty hard. if you're not prepared for it, you're gonna be very sad.
I was glad I didn't do them because I saw that you have to be really prepared for instant death attacks and things like that. And I actually didn't have any spells that were ready for that kind of thing. So I was like, oh, I'm glad I didn't think that I had to fight this boss because I probably would have been stuck on it for days and not realizing what to do.
Something I do want to bring up is I really like how when you're entering, it's very seamless going through the dungeon. So you're not sitting there going through a room to room to room and it's having to load anything.
Yeah.
Which is really, really great. And also in towns, when you go into buildings, it just kind of fades out the top and then you just can see in the building and stuff. I really, really like that. I think that's
really nice. I think that I'm going to guess because I don't know. They might have wanted to push the 3D probably more for this game, but maybe they realized that the 3D worked really well for the battles, but keeping the rest of the game in 2D... help drop load times and just keep things running a lot smoother. Because the game doesn't have really any load times aside from very, very quick before the battle starts. And it's really nice that you don't have to sit there and patiently wait or impatiently wait for something to happen. So I don't know if they chose 2D for the main game because of that, but if they did, I'm really glad that they did that.
Yeah, I would agree I with that. So, but that was something that kind of popped into my head there was with that. So,
yeah, it's a good point. So,
yeah, there are a few other things like being able to dash over in the overworld is great.
Yep.
As well as how it zooms into the locations.
Yeah, that was
cool.
When
you get closer. So I like that, especially because there's some that are kind of hidden in the desert or something. You're like, where is the stupid death maze at?
Yeah. And then when it zooms in, you're like, oh, I must be really close because it's zooming in. So
I like that. So
yeah, those are good points. I actually forgot about the zooming in, especially.
So yeah, and then in the dungeons themselves, dodging the traps is kind of fun.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
I don't know. Even though it can be kind of annoying you don't have to be completely 100% accurate on certain things, but there might be a couple times here and there I can think of where if you're not on the ball with your maneuverability or your dashing, you're kind of going to get a little frustrated, but nothing horrendous. So
they seemed like they pushed for Jack to be the character for a lot of those sequences as well because of some of his tools. Such as he's got a hookshot type tool that lets him, swing across the screen. I don't know. They allude to that at the beginning of the game that he's a treasure hunter. So I'm presuming that because I used him for most of those traps, that's what they wanted as well.
Right.
So. And they use Hanpan to get treasure chests that are off in the distance that you clearly can't reach. So I think that was pretty neat. The idea of having the tools that work against traps and such.
Especially for the booby trapped treasure chests using Hanpan to open
right,
them up.
Right, right. Yeah. Separate don't touch that. Yellow treasure chest.
For the love of God. I mean, it's not, like, that's the thing too, is it's not too damning if you, you know, you run make over a set of, yeah, if you make a mistake or something. It's really forgiving in that regard. It's not like, oh, you took two steps in this lava, here's 80% of your health gone. Fuck you. Yeah. Die. Kind of thing. So.
I don't think they took off any hit points for falling down pits, if I recall.
No, it made that funny, like, twirl animation, like, ah! Kind of thing.
Yeah, they made, like, a funny sound, but I don't think you took any damage for that.
I don't remember taking any damage for it.
Yeah, so.
So I guess something that needs to be touched on that really, I think, sells the game. You know what I'm going for?
Well, I'm pretty sure. Do you want me to say it, or do you want to
see if you can, if you read my mind, tell me what it is, Sushi.
Well, I'm going to guess it's the music.
Yeah! It's the music.
Yeah, for sure.
Holy crap.
Can I stop you just there before we continue on?
I guess.
For me, anyways, I don't know if anyone else will agree with this, but I think that, except for maybe Chrono Cross, this game has the coolest intro video of any game. And it's not so much the video, it's the music that accompanies it. That's so awesome. I can watch it hundreds of times just because of the music. I just love that intro so much.
Yeah, like, every time I would turn on the game to play it, I would sit there and just listen to the to
you
the
gotta
intro.
Watch it once and then, yeah. And then start.
Yeah, like, it's just a really,
just,
really
it's
good
catchy,
intro.
It's catchy, it fits the bill so well, it's just a really, really well-written song. It's really short, but I don't know, it just, anytime I hear it, I get excited, like, I'm just, I like Wild Arms as a game, I do, but anytime I hear that music, it just, like, almost gives me, like, the chills down my back. I'm just like, oh, that song's so awesome.
It's that whistling.
Yeah, and not a lot of games. I mean, there are games that can do it, but I don't know. Not a lot of other games can do it. Like, Grandia does that for me. I know it doesn't for a lot of people, but I don't know. This game, just amazing music to introduce you to this world.
Yeah, it is really something. Something. It's something. It's something, but it is. It's kind of its own. I would almost kind of put it on its own little shelf, I guess, because it is. It fits the bill for the Western, and you don't have a lot of kind of like Western themed RPGs to begin with, so it's already sitting by itself to be in a way. So, yeah. Just the music, all of it, like the dungeon music, the battle music. I love the battle. It's really short. The battle music is really short, but I like the battle music a lot. So
yeah, I like it too.
I'd always be like tapping my, if I was playing it on the PSP, I'd tap my thumbs to the beginning of it and stuff. It's like, dun, dun, dun. Yeah, so.
Yeah. There's that, there was one day I was talking to you and I could hear the game playing in the background. And there's that one cave song that plays quite often in the game. I don't know the name of it, but it's very much just kind of takes a mix of the theme song. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is it like Danger or something? Or
I didn't look up the name for any of the music, but it's a very common song that continually plays often in the game. And it's
the one that introduces with Jack.
I think so. I don't recall the very beginning music for Jack. So, but anyways, if you hear this song, you'll probably recognize it because it plays a number of times throughout the game. There's a number of dungeons and caves that use it. And it's a really good song as well. I don't think there's, too many misses in that whole catalog of music. There's a couple of songs where I was like, it kind of seems like it's trying to fit another theme. And maybe they're going for more like the technology aspect that's happening in the game. So it might seem a little bit out of the realm of what the Wild Arms music as a whole is. But even then, they're not bad or anything. But the encompassing music as a whole is just really good. I don't know what else you can say. It's got a fantastic score.
Yeah, I kind of made a point of this elsewhere. But and you and I have kind of talked about it. The overworld theme.
Yeah.
So blatantly taken from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
Ennio. What's his name? Ennio Morricone. Morricone. I think that's the original. Ecstasy of Gold. If you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, listen to that and then listen to Ecstasy of Gold and then listen to the Overworld theme for Wild Arms. And you'd be like, wow, that's pretty much
pretty
the
cool.
Same.
Yeah, definitely inspired. Definitely inspired.
Yeah.
We're not going to say copied. We're going to say inspired.
but it's still really good. It's kind of an interesting song to choose for that, I guess, kind of. Taking from that scene in the movie.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of a, yeah, I'll leave it at that because it's kind of going down a whole another branch of nonsense.
Yeah. I got a question for you, though. Did you find at any point in the game that the music might just get garbled when the game was loading?
Yes, it did it to me during the forest maze, when you're only with two characters.
Okay.
And it did it for me there, and I thought, what the heck's going on? Am I in some sort of kooky, weird?
It sounds like it's demonic music. It's really creepy. You know, when it happened to me, I was fighting Siegfried, and it happened, and I was like, is this the music for him? Because it was like, I forget why, I was like, oh, I'm not going to reset the game. I was like, I guess this is the music, and it was really like, oh, it was like creepy, and like, just, I don't know, I guess something happens, like, where the music just doesn't kick in properly, because it happened on the overworld for me a few times. It happened in that boss battle. But as I was listening really closely during that boss battle, I could be like, oh, I can hear it. It's the boss theme, but it's just all, like, warped and just sounds really bizarre.
Yeah, I think it happened to me once or twice, so yeah. It didn't happen to me too horribly often, but just when it did happen...
glitch. Yeah. It's not game-breaking or anything. It's just a really weird glitch. Usually if say it's the overworld and you just go back in the town and come right back out, it's just back to normal again. I just don't know why it happens. It's just whatever reason, it doesn't kick on properly.
So, yeah, I guess... is there anything else you want to touch up on? Wild Arms, or...?
Not overly. I mean, I think I really enjoyed the experience. I think Wild Arms is the kind of game that I will have good memories of, but they'll be kind of blurred memories in a way. I think that I'll probably forget a lot of the things about it, unfortunately, but the main idea, and especially the setting and the music, are things that I'll never forget.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, definitely. It's definitely not something where you can play it. There are a few things here and there that'll stick out. I know there's one thing that I can think of that that deals with the main character, something that happens in the story that kind of like, oh yeah, okay, I'll definitely remember that for a while.
Yeah.
So, and there's kind of things here and there, but for the most part, it'll be something that as time progresses, kind of, okay, yeah, all right, I remember playing Wild Arms, it was enjoyable, and I would definitely recommend if you've not played it, for those of you who've not played it, to give it a shot. I mean, particularly those who do definitely love RPGs, and even if those who don't necessarily like it, more so just for the setting and the music.
Yeah, for sure.
And the puzzles, because I like the puzzles and stuff, so, and yeah, that I much better experience than the last game.
Yeah, for you at least. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so yeah, that's about it. So
yeah, if you got the PSN or PS3, or if you can track down a physical copy, definitely go for it. It's not a long game, and hopefully you have a good experience with it.
Exactly. And for those who have played it and whatnot, definitely let us know what you thought of it, what your experience was, or is, if you're going through it again, for whatever reason.
Sure.
Of Wild Arms. So, yeah. So, thanks for listening, guys. And stay tuned. But, yeah. No, thanks for listening. As always, we're everywhere. Podomatic, Facebook, all that other. Twitter, Power and Podcast. iTunes, look for us.
send us some comments. We'd love to hear.
Exactly. So definitely. So thanks for listening and have a good day.